Praise God. So we've been in a series, although we've kind of taken a break for a while. We've had several things. We had the baptism and some different services. Mother's Day was before, but Father's Day and all this. So we've been away from this for a little bit. But those messages are available on the website. That's why they're there. You can go back, listen to them. I think we're in the, sixth part of this. But the series is called The Lord Our Healer. And so we've been focusing on God's appropriating healing through Jesus. Exodus 15, 26. Go ahead and turn over there if it's on your sheet as well. Now, we focus on faith and healing on Wednesdays. That's what we felt like, believe God had us to focus on for Wednesday. So we do that continually. But that doesn't mean we can't focus on it some on Sundays as well, and we've been in this series now for a few weeks. So, Exodus 15, 26. I encourage you, if you need healing in your body, Wednesdays are a place you ought to be. I mean, because we're constantly feeding on that. But they're also on the website as well, the recordings. So, Exodus 15, 26, it says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Now we're not going to go through, we're not going to cover some of the ground we covered before, but we saw this this last part of this, "For I am the Lord who heals you." In the New American Standard Bible on your sheet there, it says, "For I, the Lord, am your healer." In the Hebrew, that phrase there is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah is Lord. So when you see Lord, that's that word Jehovah. But this is one of the covenant names of God. It, Rapha means healer. It means to heal. It means physician. It means repair thoroughly and to make whole. That's what it means when you see Jehovah Rapha. When you see the Lord who heals you, it means it's the Lord. He's the Lord your physician. He's the Lord who repairs you. He's the Lord who makes you whole. You get the picture? He's the God that we ought to be looking to help us with our physical body. So we've gone over that. Different aspects of that. You know, we just to hook up with where we were, we talked about that this is part of the gospel. This is part of salvation. Healing is part of salvation. Real quickly, on your sheet there, we're just going to run through some of these. I don't have time to, my focus today is a little different, but just to run through and kind of hook up with where we were last time, you can go back and listen to the message, last message on the website. But just look on your sheet here, Romans 1, 16 verse to 17, or actually just verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And that word salvation there, when you talk about what it means to save and the words that are translated save, we see that it means, well, actually the word salvation inclusively, it includes to sum up all the blessings bestowed by God on men in Christ through the Holy Spirit. So salvation is everything. It's not just fire insurance. It's not just being saved from hell. That's part of it, thank God. But why would you be saved for hell? See, some people have this idea, it's just like, oh, you're saved, now you're not going to hell. No, the reason you wouldn't be going to hell is because hell is made for the devil and his angels, for those that would rebel against God. See, we're not going to go into this, but just flying over this, Satan owns mankind because Adam fell and bowed his knee. Only ones, see, Jesus came to redeem mankind, to save them. He came as a ransom. But it's only those who believe on Jesus and receive what he did, that will be, that means if they receive what he did, they believe on what he did, they're free. We're free because we received his payment. But the fact is, he's already paid for everybody on the earth. He's paid for all mankind. What did he pay for? He paid to make us free from the clutches of the enemy. And when you believe on him, when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become born again on the inside. That means your spirit, that means you're a new person. You are not in the family of the devil anymore. The Bible says in Colossians, we've been transferred from that, from the power of darkness, into light, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we have been transferred out. So there's no hold. I mean, God's not sending anybody to hell. People reject Jesus, and then they get the same punishment as the enemy is going to get. So when you're saved, it's not just like this card that says, I'm saved, so when I'm going up, I get channeled this way, or, you know, channeled back down to hell. It's not like that. Satan has no hold on you. Well, it's the same way with your body. See, sickness and disease came into this earth through sin. And because of that, sin and sickness came in, and that's all a form of death. That's because, like we were talking about earlier, this world wasn't made like you see it now. This is a fallen world. This is the result of sin. This is the result of darkness. This world does not resemble what God created. People wonder, why do all these bad things happen in the earth? Well, the earth is groaning under sin, the Bible says. It's messed up. All this stuff you see going on is not God's design. God's not doing it. It's just, it's fallen. So sickness is a result of Satan's influence here. And being saved is a holistic word. That word means to be made whole in every area, and it includes healing. When you see saved so many times, now we're going to run through this really quick. I'm not going to re-preach the sermon, but going right in to our next part. When we said this, when you see the gospel of Christ, when you see that word Christ, it actually means Messiah. That word, it means deliverer. When you say Jesus Christ, you're talking about Jesus the deliverer. He's our Messiah. He's our salvation. He's our saving. It means Savior. So when you see the word save over and over, which we're going to read, these words that we're about to read, these different verses, like I said, I took more time before, go back and listen to the previous message, but I want to read this in connection with where we're going, with some things about what is in Jesus, the atonement of what Jesus paid for. That word saved is this Greek word sozo. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I take the people's word for it that have studied this, that commit their lives to this. You can look all these words up. You know, go look up Strong's, go look up Vines. But this word sozo, it's spelled S-O-Z-O, in English, it means to deliver, it means to protect, it means to heal, it means to preserve, it means to save, it means to do well, it means to make whole. Okay? That word's what it means. When you see saved, so many people, we just think saved. I'm going to heaven, saved, if you've been, you know, taught in Christian circles, but you're not thinking all these other areas. It means that you're made well, made whole in every area. Well, what does that include? That includes your body. That includes your finances. We were talking about it earlier. When you're broken financially, how many of you know that can cause stress in every area of your life? Huh? Yep. It causes you to get it, you know, it can be... Doesn't cause you to get irritable. You're tempted to get irritable. You could, you know, yield to that very easily. You know, you fight with your spouse. You're irritable with your kids. Why? You're under this strain of financial pressure. That's not God's best. Let me just rewind. Do you think they were under financial pressure in the Garden of Eden? They were sitting there. Now, they had all their needs met. That's God's will for us. Is for us to be taken care of. Now, we live in this world, you know, like you said, work is not bad. We're talking about in the offering. Work is not bad. There's something we can put our hands to. we live in this world, so it's not going to be perfect, not because God willed it, because it's fallen. But you can still, the more we yield to Him, the more it's going to be redeemed in our life. The more it's going to be more of His will in our life. You know, with your children. He wants our relationships whole. He wants us to our families to be at peace. He wants our jobs, our relationship with our employer and how we're working there to be whole. Every area of our life, Jesus came and He has an answer and He has a way to make it whole. That's His will. In other words, He doesn't have the will. I mean, how many of you know, if you had all the money in the world, but your health has deteriorated, you get a point where you trade it all to be well and healthy. Well, thank God we don't have to do that, but money isn't the most important thing. You could have all the money in the world, you could be healthy physically, but if your relationships aren't well, I mean, that's a hole, right? Now, God didn't just come for us to have one little piece over here and, you know, we praise God in church and raise our hands and we're just, happy, act like we're happy over here, but we have very real issues and there's a hole. Jesus came so that all that could be whole. Amen. That's what salvation means. Amen. Salvation isn't, well, I just got to trudge through. When we get to the other side, it'll be good, but this is just horrible here. That's not salvation. So that's a part of salvation. Salvation, we can experience salvation here. Now, I'm not saying all your problems are going to go away. I'm saying in the midst of the challenges that we have, God can take hold with us if we'll allow Him to. Amen. But He's the same God to everybody right now. It's to the degree we experience it is the degree we yield to Him. That we say, Lord, I'm going to do it Your way. I'm going to yield to You. And when we yield to Him, He's able to come in and work. And what is He going to work? Is He going to work evil? No, He's going to work good. He's going to work salvation. Amen. He's going to work health and wholeness and healing. Everything that God touches that will allow Him to touch, it'll be made better. It'll be made whole. The areas that are weak or suffering in our lives are the areas we haven't let Him in. And then we suffer what's in this world. See, if we're yielding to what the world's way of doing things, how many of you know this world's messed up? Yeah. And people are messed up, and they're not going to God, and they're peddling what their ideas are. Well, this study shows. Yeah, until the next study shows something different, and you've wasted 10 years of your life following this thing, and then it's all proven that you were completely wrong. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said this, but every time I say it, again, there's all these instances since the last time I said it that there are new studies that just disprove something else, especially with food. Well, you know, it's not really that way. I mean, it's not. It's just a few months. You know, something, well, this isn't really, we thought this was right, but actually this is bad for you, and this is going to kill you in 20 years if you keep down that path. And it's touted as this is the way healthy people live. But actually, it's killing you. Well, we don't need to figure that out 20 years from now when you've already gone down that path. If we'll just listen to God and follow His Spirit, well, it's the same way with, you know, how many of you know books have been written about how to raise kids? Back in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, and you don't do this. You don't spank, you do this. Well, sorry, but spanking's in the Word over and over. Did I say a dirty word? You people that are old enough, you know. I got a spanking. Most of you got spankings. But no, you don't want to spank. That's child abuse. No, it is not. You can get angry with anything, but if you'll do it in love, it is love to them. To turn a child. The Bible says it over and over. But people are going, well, we got a better way, and we just can't figure out why these kids just go off the rails all the time. But we're not going to do what God said. Well, in that area, we have darkness. So if we don't yield to Him in those areas, we're going to get what the world's getting, and they're going away from God. Who are they following? Whether they know it or not, if you're not following God, there isn't a middle ground. You're following something that's away from God. If God says do it this way, you say, well, I'll do it a different way. What is that? It's not going to be good. So if God, the Almighty, says this is the way to do it, I know everything, and you say, I have a better idea. I have a better idea. How is that going to work out for you? A whole lot of people are thinking it's going to work out better. We don't need God anymore. He doesn't exist. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you'll meet him in a little bit. He exists. He's still all-powerful, all-knowing God. But my point is, if we'll yield to him, he will give us good in our lives. But we got to do it his way. Huh? There's all kinds of things people are saying, well, I want this relationship with my employer. Just it ought to be this way for a worker. Well, go and read what the Bible says about how you're supposed to relate to your employer as an employee. Might surprise a lot of people now because they think they should run in the show. No, the Bible doesn't say, well, my boss, he's not real godly. The Bible talks about that too. So it doesn't matter if you're, and it's talking about slaves, if your master is a Christian, good, but don't abuse it. If he's not, you serve him anyway. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say, well, I don't like it. I don't want to do what he says. That's not what it says. Anyway, as we yield to him, we'll experience God. We'll experience him. So many times where we get stiff-necked and we say, no, I'm going to do it my way. You know what's happening? We're going to experience destruction. We're going to experience things that aren't godly. We're not going to experience salvation, but where we say, God, you're right. I'll do it your way. Guess what? He wants good in our lives more than we want it, but we have to yield to him. If we just say, no, I like it this way. I don't believe that. Well, when we need to understand what's in the Bible, and if we need to understand what's in here and decide whether or not we're going to do what's in here. If we do what's in here, salvation, wholeness. How many people like the idea of salvation, wholeness, healed in every area of our lives? Amen. We know how we get there. We just yield to God and say, Lord, I bow my knee to you. Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to yield to you. And then that gives him access for us to experience it. But in the area, so this area of salvation is huge. It covers so many areas. It covers everything, and it covers healing. Now, let's go run through these scriptures, and we're going to get to our next part. Matthew 10:22. But it's been a few weeks since we're in this, so we'll get everybody going in the same direction, get everybody caught up with where we are. Can't cover everything, but we can hook up. Matthew 10:22. Just look on your sheet. Now, we're talking about this word sozo. That means to save, to deliver, to protect. It's translated heal. It's translated preserve. It's translated to do well. It's translated to be made whole. Now, we're going to read these scriptures. As we read these scriptures, all these words where you see save or heal, this is all that same word, okay? Matthew 10:22 says, and you will be hated by all for my namesake, for he who endures to the end will be saved. Acts 15:11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Now, this is the area that people say, oh yeah, that's what saved means, but all these are saved. Let's keep going. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that's the definition of salvation right there, but that doesn't just include just being saved from hell. This is saved. All these other verses are talking about that same word. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Go down to Romans 10:13. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, notice, the one that calls on the name of the Lord, the one that says, Lord, I need a Savior. I need a Savior in this area. I need a Savior in my body. I need a Savior on my job. I need a Savior in my family. Matthew 9:21. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Now, this is the same word. Where it says, shall be made well, that is that same word, saved. It's the same word we just read in all the other places. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well, has saved you. But obviously they're talking about, this lady has an issue of blood. We're talking about physical healing, but that's saved. Mark 5:22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. That word, that's saved. That she may be healed. She needs to be, she's going to die. Well, that's part of salvation. Jesus is demonstrating salvation. Mark 10:50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. See, he was healed of blindness. He couldn't see. Now he can see. That word has made you well. That's saved. Luke 17:17. So Jesus answered and said, "Were not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." That's same word. Acts 14:9. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. That's the same word. You could say faith to be saved. But you're not just talking about being born again. You're talking about being healed here. He said with a loud voice, stand up straight in your feet. So Paul's preaching the gospel. We went into this a while back. Paul's preaching the gospel. He's preaching Christ. And the man received faith to be healed. Well, he must have been preaching more than just what we would say just salvation, being born again, because the man, Paul saw him, and he saw that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped up and he walked. Acts 4:8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Same thing. And then finally, James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. That's that same word. But you can see here, the sick needs to be made well in his body. Well, it's translated save here. But that means to be made well, to be made whole. So this word save that we see over and over, the what Jesus has provided includes healing. Now you can see it through the way the words are translated here. All these being made salvation. Now I want to go, this is what I want to focus on today. Let's go over to Isaiah 53:4. Just about right in the middle of your Bible, depending on how many notes you have on the at the end. But Isaiah 53. It's on your sheet there, of course, too. Now, I just want to, this concept, I want to talk about this and show these scriptures how this is clearly shown in Jesus' work, how healing is part of what he did. We can see it. We can see how the Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We see how people were saved, and what that is translated as is healed. You see how God came, God came through Jesus to do that, but here we see it in the atonement, we see it in the substitution, the substitutionary work of Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Everybody there? It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." Now, I'm going to show you this in another translation, but the word, when we look at verse 4, like the way it's translated here in the New King James, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Those words to us, normally, when you say somebody is full of grief or sorrow, you're thinking emotions, being sad, etc. But that's not what these words literally mean here. If in the margin of my Bible, for griefs, it says literally sicknesses. Sorrows, it says literally pains. Now you can see this clearly if you look on your sheet there in the Amplified. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs." See, the Amplified Bible just brings out the nuances of what that those words are in the, here. Is the Hebrew. "Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains." Well, that lines up right with what you just saw here. I'm going to show you another translation here in a minute. "Carried our sorrows and pains, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, afflicted by God as if with leprosy, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him." Notice that. The chastisement or the punishment needed to obtain peace and well-being for us. Does that line up with salvation? Yep. See, the punishment that was needed to obtain salvation was upon him. He took it. "And with his stripes that wounded him, we are made healed and made whole." Does that sound like salvation? Mm-hmm. See, this is talking about what Jesus did for us. Now, I'm going to come back right here, but look on. Let's see, you guys have the next. Did I put the latter part of 54 on your sheet there? 53, 10 to 12? Yep. Let me read that. 53, 10 to 12. Where did I start? I think I just put 11. So it does have, okay. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." So this is in the same chapter, okay? So we're going to go back and we're going to talk about those first verses talking about sickness. But look at this. This is in the same area. This is the same author, same chapter, same. This is in Isaiah, who was a prophet. This is prophesying about the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, the coming Savior. Now we're going to see that very clearly in the New Testament where it looks back and says this. It says this, it translates this for us and confirms that this is what Isaiah meant. But here we're just back in Isaiah, you know, showing Isaiah's looking forward. Verse 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin." So notice that. So the same way, this is what I want to get over to you in reading these verses over here. The same way he was made the sacrifice for sin is the same way that at the beginning of chapter 53, he's made the sacrifice for bodily healing. You can't separate these. "He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now look at that. He bore the sin of many. Would people in the church that believe in the saving work of Jesus as it pertains to sin, wouldn't they agree that when it says he bore the sin of many, Jesus did that, that he bore the sin? Well, this is the same way now as we go back that it talks about he bore our sickness. It's the same thing. See, if he bore one, he had to bear the other, because if we're going to take this latter part of this chapter and say, oh, yeah, yeah, he did it for our sins, but you know, body, your body, that's just, it could be God's will, that's just the way he made you, you just don't, no, that's not true. I said that's not true.
That's right.
You can't take one another. If he bore the one in that same sacrifice, he bore the other, because that's what the beginning of chapter 53 says, and we're going to get into it further. You'll see this even more clearly as we go into Matthew and 1 Peter. But look back on your sheet then again. So we just read the Amplified and show that it says he bore our griefs, which here is sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses, carried our sorrows and pains. Now look in the Young's Literal. The Young's Literal, it's a very literal translation. It doesn't always read real well, because if you the Hebrew and the Greek, they can be kind of clunky in English. So this, you know, it's the translations smooth it out. But this is very literal. It's actually just translating the words right over, but the sentence structure isn't real good in English. But look at verse 4. Surely our sicknesses he hath borne. That's black and white. He doesn't use any other word. This is what, when you see like in my Bible in the margin, it says literally, this is sicknesses. Well, Young's Literal says, yeah, it's sicknesses. When you see in the Amplified, it brings out sicknesses. This is what the word means. Surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them. Is that clear?
Yes.
And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. See, what it's saying there is we thought that he was getting punished for what he did. Well, he wouldn't get punished for what he did. He didn't need any punishment. He wasn't doing it for himself. Jesus didn't need healing.
That's right.
Jesus came to the earth to pay for you and me. He didn't need to be saved. He's the ruler of the universe.
That's right.
See, he came as a man to ransom you and to ransom me from the power of the enemy. To be our Savior, to be our Deliverer. That's what Christ means. Well, that doesn't just include us going to heaven. To save us from everything that the devil held over us. Any form of death. Of course, spiritual death would be included. But bodily death, destruction, poverty, relationship failure, that's all part of the curse. It's part of what Jesus came to redeem us from. It's at verse 5, and he is pierced. Why? For his good? No, for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, because we needed a Savior, because we were under the power of Satan, because we deserved it, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came, he was pierced for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his bruise there is healing to us. See, what he did bought the healing for us. Now let's turn over to Matthew. Hallelujah. Don't let this be too simple. These verses are so powerful. This is all you can get healed right here on this. This is it. If you take this as the word of God and not as the word of men and not as some theory, but in reality, that God Almighty sent his son to as a ransom for you and for me, and that there is no legal right for any sickness to stay on a body anymore. You take that as the word of God, that'll set you free. You're not dealing with some doctrine. You're not dealing with some man's ideas. You're talking about reality. Somebody paid for this. I don't need to pay for it. That's what we're talking about. If it's paid for, then I don't need to pay it again. Look at Matthew 8, verse 16. Now, in case there were any doubt about what was going on in Isaiah, that verse was actually talking about Jesus. See, we can talk about what's in Isaiah, but here the Bible connects that verse, what's in Isaiah, to Jesus and says, he is that Christ, that was that Messiah that was prophesied about. And if that's true, then everything we just read is true about Jesus. And if we've received Jesus, then it's true that we have what that those scriptures said we have. That means our sicknesses, our pains have been borne by him. And that's exactly what Matthew is saying. Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word, and he what? He healed all who were sick. Then what is the next verse? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. See, it translates those words right here for us. It says, and what did he just... How was it connected? What did he just say Jesus did right before we connect it here? He healed. Didn't say anybody became born again because I couldn't at this point. It's saying they were healed. Let's read it again. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore whose sicknesses?
Ours.
He took whose infirmities?
Ours.
And bore whose sicknesses?
Ours.
So if he took them, if he bore them, if he paid for them, then why would we pay for them? Use this example before, but if you go out and eat at a restaurant and you're eating and somebody you're done and you're like, hey, can I have the check? Or now they have the Zios things and stuff, you click on there and they bring you your check, or they don't bring your check, you just pay on there. But you go to pay and there's nothing there. Been paid. Wouldn't it be silly for you to call over your server and say, hey, I owe money here. I want to pay. And he or she says, well, it's already been paid. Somebody saw you, must have recognized you or something, and they already paid for it. Wouldn't it be silly for you to go, but I want to pay for it. I really want it. Can you write me another check? I want to pay for it. If they paid for it, you don't have to pay for it. Right? Now, if it were a different situation, let's say somebody bought your meal for you, didn't tell you about it, but they're just kind of watching there, and they bought the meal, but they're watching, and the person tries to charge you again for what they already bought. Now, if they knew that, they'd be, wait a minute, I already bought that. They don't owe anything. I paid for it. You wouldn't be paying for it, correctly, legally, you don't owe anything because it's been paid for. And this is exactly what we're talking about. If Jesus, this verse right here, this if you understand this, you can get healed on this verse, period. It's all what you need to understand. Because it says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. If he took them and he bore them, there's no sense in me taking them or bearing them. And legally, it's already been done. I don't have to bear them. So it's already been paid for, but we have to appropriate. We have to believe this. We have to know it. We have to say, wait a minute. I've been putting up with something I don't have to put up with. I don't have to pay for this. It's already been paid for. Amen. See, in salvation, people are real, if you know what the word says, people are real strong on this. You know, quote Romans 10 and say, well, no, no. If you talked about, well, no, you, if people understand salvation as it relates to being born again, being right with God, you get people that don't believe anything about healing. But if you talk about just being born again and salvation, and you say, if you were to say, well, no, I mean, God's saved, but you still, you got to do stuff. I mean, you have to still do your part and work your way to be able to pay off what Jesus didn't finish. You know, you can't just receive salvation. You can't just believe on him. You got to do something. People would fight you on that. Well, no, no. Jesus took it. Jesus paid for it. All you have to do is receive. But when it comes to healing, we've been messed up so much in our head and brainwashed that people have all kinds of weird notions about this, and it's not the gospel. It's not. It's like, well, yeah, but you know, for you, it may not be for one, and it may not. And we've covered that. We've talked about who will God heal. No, he wants to heal everybody. He included. It's in the same package as salvation when we're talking about the forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. So it's in the same package. So if that's for everybody, how does it make any sense? If it says he bore our sicknesses, and it just got done saying he healed all, how is it that, well, but, you know, this person, he might want to keep sick? That's not logically consistent. If it's in the package, and the package is for everybody, then all of the package is for everybody. It's, you know why it's harder for us? Because we haven't been told that this is the truth. We've been told that it may be, sometimes, don't know, you're dealing with your body, you're dealing with your flesh anyway, so it's in your face. And so we don't stay strong on it. We don't say, no, Jesus bore it. If he bore it, I don't have to bear it. It's done. And then you stand on that until you say, no, it's got to go. And you believe that and say that until it goes. But we'll back down. Well, it didn't go right away. What's going on? I better try again. Or, but you know, we get all, maybe it's not the will of God. Just people go right down and they're stolen from. But we have to let the Bible be the authority. Either the Bible's true or it's not. And we've gone over, we've seen scriptures where we don't have time to go through all that, but God healed over and over. He healed all. There wasn't one that he said, you have to be sick. But this right here, if we'll understand, it's in the package. We've already received it. Just like you receive Jesus as your Savior, we need to receive him as our healer. Amen. That he's our healer. No, he's my, isn't that what we're talking about? It says the Lord is, he is the Lord, our healer. So just like you would say, oh, you know, you're right with God, and even if you miss it, you can go to him. You can say, I missed it. You're saved. You've received salvation. He's your Savior. Well, just because you have something in your body, you receive him as your healer, which is what? Your physician, the one who makes you well. He's your go-to person. You have something in your body? Well, Jesus already paid for it. Jesus already took it. He's already my healer. And we have, that's got to get just as real to us. And so real that we believe it, that it doesn't matter if something is square in our face, contradicting, symptoms are screaming at you saying, you're not healed. You look at this and say, he's my healer. Something's got to give.
Hallelujah.
Either he's right or it's all a bunch of junk and the Bible isn't true and he's not my healer. But if he's my healer, then something's got to change. This has got to move. See, our problem is we're not that convinced. And we'll flinch. You know what flinch? When I was growing up in high school, they would have this thing of somebody would come up to you and go like that, and if you flinched, they could hit you twice in the arm. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Is it just me? Huh? They go up and go like that, and you go, oh, you flinched, and then, but if you didn't flinch, maybe it was just an 80s thing. I don't know. You know, wipe it, they have to wipe it off and then they hit you. But what's flinching? It's like you're like this. You're batting your eyes. You're not. Well, that's what we do all the time. The enemy, you got something in your body pushing on you, and you say, he took my infirmities, he bore my sicknesses, and that pain pushes on you, or your symptoms, and the thoughts will come, what are you talking about? That's hocus pocus. That's not true. It's not changing, is it? Where's it going? And you know what we do? We flinch. We're like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not. And we back down. Instead of, no, it's true, and it's got to go. And I don't care if I die believing this. It's true.
That's right.
So you have to get to the place. That sounds contradictory. It's not contradictory. Because if you're waiting to see if it works to determine if it's true or not, you're already in the wrong vein. Did you hear me?
Yes.
I remember Kenneth Copeland saying that once. He said, if I were dying, my last words out of my mouth, even if I was sick and finding something, would be, by his stripes, I was healed.
Amen.
You say that sounds contradictory. He's dying. You don't see, if you think, well, you're dying, so it doesn't work, you're looking at symptoms and circumstances over his word.
Amen.
We have to get convinced that regardless of what we see or feel, it's true, and when we get there, that's when we dig in and stuff's got to change. But until then, the devil will call your bluff. All he's got to do is just push on this a little bit, and you'll go, oh, I don't know about it. Well, what if this doesn't work? And you just back off and got you. You know what we have to be like? I've used this example before. How many of you, when you were growing up, you learned how to add? Huh? And see if you learn how to add well. If you learn how to add. But this one, everybody that's learned how to add, even if you don't know how to add, you probably know this. What is 2 plus 2? 4. Now, this is how we need to get with the word. You guys believe 2 plus 2 equals 4, right? If you went out, see this, let's say, you need one, they still need these in high school, like $80, $90, $100 calculators for their math classes, the graphing calculators. If you went and bought and spent $120 on a calculator, and you punched in 2 plus 2, and it came out 5, I don't care how much you spent for the calculator, you say there's something wrong with this, or I'm not doing it right. I put it in right, but if you know this is how you enter 2 plus 2, and you know that part, and it comes out with 5, I don't care how much you spent for it, I don't care who sold it to you, I don't care who told you, you would say, you're not going to convince me 2 plus 2 is equal 5. This thing is wrong. Huh?
Right. Yes.
What if, some high-ranking person came and said, no, this new thing, this is right. And you say, it says 2 plus 2 is equal 5. So I don't care how much money you put into it. I don't care what you're talking about. I don't care how many degrees you have after your name, letters you have after your name. This is not right. Because you are so convinced and you've heard it so many years that you believe 2 plus 2 does not equal 5. It equals 4. And nobody could beat that out of you. Right? But see, that's where we need to get with this. You read it. No, he himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. Yeah, but you're sick. No, wrong answer. That's not right. He has already paid for my healing. That's the right answer. This thing is a lie, and it will change. I don't care what I see. Well, but you hurt. It hasn't gone. I don't care. That's wrong. This is right. That will change. It's the same thing as with the calculator. Junk, wrong answer, get out of my way. This is what's truth. If we'll get that way, things have to change. But what we do, we come out of the gate good a lot of times. Come out of the gate well, we're ready. We're saying, no, it's going to change. And then, well, it didn't change in 2 days. It didn't change in 3 days. Well, maybe it doesn't work. That'd be like you just keep punching the calculator. Well, maybe 2 + 2 = 5. I don't know. I mean, maybe I was wrong. But you say, no, I'd never do that. That's because we're convinced in that area. Let me give you another example. If somebody were to come up and tell you, try to talk you out of being born again, if you know what it means to be born again, and try to tell you, no, you missed it, this isn't true, you did that one thing back in the 60s, and because of that, you can't be born again. So everything you believe, it's wrong. If you know what the Word says, you would not be talked out of it. You would say, no, that's already been taken care of. I'm right with God. And you wouldn't flinch. Yes, that's right. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you seen Jesus? Most people have not seen Jesus. Do you know for a fact you've gone to heaven? You've seen it? No. But you believe it. Why do you believe it? Because the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what I did. I'm saved. Yeah, but you don't see Jesus. I don't care. Yeah, but you're not really born again. No, I am. And most people, a lot of people, would be adamant because that they've heard. That they're convinced of. But when it comes to healing, just a little bit of pain, something doesn't happen right away. I'll tell you what, when it isn't looking like it's changing, that's when we dig in and say, I don't care. It's still true, and it's going to change, and I still confess with the Word. When it pushes the hardest, and when it says, it's too late, you're already getting sick, that's when you double down. That's the pressure trying to get you to flinch. It's trying to, why? Because you're taking what is yours, and the enemy will try to put pressure on you to back off that confession and back off so that he can keep doing what he wants to do in your life. He doesn't want you to start acting on what the Bible says. So he'll just, and I'm not saying he's in charge of every other thing. There'll be thoughts brought to you. Amps will bring thoughts to you. I'm not saying there's a demonic force enforcing everything, although there is with some. But most of the time, it's just you're dealing with this fallen world, you're dealing with the fallen body, stuff is pushing you, but we need to know, no, wrong answer, I've been redeemed from that. That may be in the world, that may be a real virus, I'm redeemed from it. So I don't care what the science is behind it, I don't care what you're saying that has to happen, that is got to bow to this higher truth of Jesus already paid for it. So I'm not paying for it. You're not going to convince me to pay for this. Yeah, but you should. No. Well, you're in this world and you're falling and everybody gets it. No, not me, because this is true.
Hallelujah.
We got to be convinced of that. Then we'll hold our ground. This right there, right here, we get convinced can change us. Now let's look at one more. Go ahead and turn over. 1 Peter 2:24. So in Isaiah 53, verse 5, It had said the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's what Isaiah said. Now, 1 Peter, Peter's looking back. Now, we've already shown that Isaiah was talking about Jesus, and we see what these words were meaning with that portion of Scripture, that they're talking about sicknesses and pains. You can see in Matthew that it's referring back to Isaiah, and it's saying, talking about that Jesus bore those sicknesses. It's talking about in context of healing a lot of people. So 1 Peter is quoting this same verse, this same portion of Scripture, and he's going back then, verse 24, he says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. You say, well, he's talking about sins there. Yeah, but we just showed they're all together. He bore our sins, but here he's talking about that by his stripes you were healed. Well, the spiritual, you're not healed spiritually. Did you hear me? When you're born again, you're not healed. You're recreated. In Corinthians, it says that all things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not patched. You're not healed spiritually. You're born again. So when it says here, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You are. It's referring to physical healing. It's quoting Isaiah. And Isaiah says, you are healed. First, Peter is looking back saying, you were, because what Jesus did on the cross. It's been purchased. And if you were, then you are. Because if you already were healed, then we have to get the idea. It's already been appropriated. How does it become reality, though? We've got to believe that it's already. It's the same way we get born again. It's the same way. He's already technically paid the price for the whole world. But there's going to be all kinds of people that are going to go to hell. Why? They haven't received what he did. They don't believe this. Well, it's the same thing. We have to accept, just like we accept him as our Savior, we have to say, you're my healer. I accept what you did on the cross. Therefore, going forward, you're my healer. I'm healed. So if something comes, well, God can take care of that. Dr. Jesus, what do I do here? Go pray. You say, I don't know what step to take. Well, don't just start throwing out scriptures and quote. Go to him and say, consult him. Lord, there's something, give me wisdom. There's something I got to tweak here. Is this a natural thing that I could just, you know, I haven't done something over here. You know, I haven't been taking care of this area. Maybe you just tweak your diet a little bit. Dr. Jesus can tell you that. Don't just assume that you just start quoting scriptures and whatever. Go to him, ask him. If there's something I need to tweak, show me. But if it's just I need to stand, then I dig in. But ask him, get wisdom, get direction. I had this, heard this example. One person shares this man was, I can't remember where he was. It was in Africa or something. He was visiting there as a missionary, and he was just getting weaker and weaker, and just I don't know if he had some things with his stomach, but it just wasn't going well with him at all, and he prayed about it, and he believed in healing. It's just nothing was happening. And he asked God, God, what's going on here? And I'm doing what I know to do, and asked him and went to him and asked him. And he got this, doesn't mean he heard an audible voice, but just an impression. Just add a little salt to your food. And he did. And the stuff just started clearing up. There was just something that was a little off there. You don't think God knows that? See, it doesn't have to be always just, sometimes we go into supernatural mode. And sometimes it's just a little tweak. Just, I'm not saying always. But sometimes it's just like you'd go to your natural physician. Well, you doing this? You drinking this? Is this, just checking. Oh, you know I'm supposed to be doing that? Oh, do that, done, over with. Don't even see it. It's not even an issue anymore. This thing you dealt with for a year, it's gone. Why? Tweak. Dr. Jesus knows that. So you don't always have to go into, just because, see, he's our healer. He's our physician. He knows. But you have to get it settled that regardless of all that. So you don't get focused in on, I got to figure it all out either. You can go. See, people try to go to one extreme or the other. Just know, number one, he paid for it. It's his will that you be completely well. Amen. Number two, he'll help you get there. Whatever you need to tweak, he'll show you. And he'll help. But by his stripes, we were healed. So it's already been provided. It's his will that we be well. If you go to him and just know that it's his will that you be well and healthy and whole, that's what salvation is. You're already ahead. You're already like, okay, Lord, what are we doing here? And let's take care of this, because you're not, your doubt is gone about him wanting you to be well or not. You're convinced. You're convinced this has to change. Now, Lord, give me the game plan. You get the game plan, and then you dig in like a bulldog. You just be like, nope, this is not changing. I don't care what it looks like. I have the scripture. I got my plan from God, and now I'm immovable. And this will change. And you stay that way. Until when? Until. You can't say, see, if you're looking for anything else, you're going by sight. Well, if I try it for 5 days and it doesn't change, you're walking by sight. See, what you're doing then is you're waiting to believe it when it changes. Well, then it's too late to believe it. See, it's already happened. You need to believe when you don't see. That's when we believe. Amen. God is so good.